And away we go. It is a Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021, palindrome, last palindrome day of 2021, where the date is the same forwards and backwards. We won't have another one of these for quite some time. 18, coming up on 19 minutes past the hour after this show today, A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble. Dr. Feynman will be the guest. The history of the White House and Christmas. Then we have offbeat news and trivia with Nate Redman today. $50 gift card to Bob Evans for 10 to 5 p.m. A special study his word with Pastor Craig from 5:10 to 6 p.m. The Christmas edition tonight, because he did not get that on Sunday because of a technical issue here at the station. And then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday sermon tonight, 6:10 until 7 p.m. And then I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8:10 until 10 a.m. And then Adam will fill in for Glenn from 10:10 a.m. until 1 p.m. And then I'll be back on Friday morning from 8:10 until 1 p.m. And we've got all kinds of fun scheduled for Friday morning, Christmas Eve morning. We have a piano player coming in to play the keyboard from 9:10 on, and then we have Sean Kraft, I believe, is coming in that morning, and possibly Terry Klein with the proverbial traditional eggnog that is spiked on Christmas Eve morning. So that will be the rundown coming up here in the next few days as we head into the big holiday. 740-383-9944. Any questions, comments, give us a buzz. Tis the season here at WWGH Radio.
Am I supposed to talk?
Yeah, it's your turn. I did 3 minutes there.
Well, I'm trying to find my... I'm driving down to North Carolina tomorrow, and I wanted to show you my daughter's house, but I'm not finding her address, so probably won't happen.
Now, as far as the holiday, what do you make of Christmas in the 2021?
I love Christmas. I think... like Thunderbolt, I think we have to learn how to care about each other a little bit more than we do. If I had one thing to give to the world for Christmas, it would be empathy or love. You know, love kind of is one of those lib soft words that I don't like to use a lot because so many people, oh, you're just a tree-hugging libber. But I think we need a lot more love. We need people... One of the things why I think you're a great interviewer is you listen. And I think we need people to listen to each other. Now, you may not agree with each other, but listen. And, maybe you'll figure it out. The thing I don't like recently is how much lying we're doing to each other. And I think we've got to get away from that.
Well, let me tell you my Marlo Thomas story.
Yes, please do.
Here's what happened. So the last few days, because I have this nice relationship with Phil Donahue. I think it's a nice relationship.
Yeah, seems like it.
It seems like it. And he's come on many times when he's not doing other people's shows. He invited me to his house this year. So I wanted to be nice. And I thought about this. I've been thinking about this for the last week, that I just wanted to call him off the air, say thank you for everything, Merry Christmas, you know, that sort of thing. And but I'd been putting it off. And last night, it was about 10 o'clock, and I thought, well, he's probably not asleep, so I'll call, and
it
I'll
is
just...
a little late.
But it's he lives on the East Coast, and you know, he's not working now. So I thought, I'll call up, and I'll just say, you know, very quickly, thank you for everything, Merry Christmas. Now, all the times I've ever called him, he's always answered the phone. So the phone rings... And it's Marlo Thomas, mm-hmm. answers the phone, which is odd, because that's never happened. So, and it's a strange situation, because normally when you call somebody's house and their spouse answers, their spouse is not also a big-time celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, but now you get Marlo Thomas. You didn't get Phil Donahue, so you got Marlo Thomas. And Marlo says, I said, it's Scott Spears. Is Mr. Donahue there? And she said, yes, how may I help you? And I thought that was odd, because...
She was probably snappy.
Well, just odd, because she sounded wide awake. Okay. And I said, this is, you know, Scott from Ohio. I'd been there to visit earlier this year, and he comes on the show, and would just like to wish him a Merry Christmas. And she said, Scott. She said, it's his birthday.
Oh.
And we're actually celebrating his birthday.
Oh, well, neat.
Could you call back tomorrow? And I had no idea it was his birthday. And it was his birthday. His birthday is December 21st. And I said, oh, I'm so, I felt awful. I interrupted the birthday party. And I said, well, tell him happy birthday, and I'll call back tomorrow. Thanks, Scott. Talk to you tomorrow. So that was my Marlo Thomas story last night. But I felt horrible, I mean, because I'd been thinking of doing this for the last week. And of all days to do it, birthday.
Well, it's good to know that my anniversary is on the same day as his birthday.
Yeah, his birthday
now
is...
Now I'll remember his birthday forever.
No, he's 86.
Oh, my goodness. I would not have guessed that.
Yep. And so I'll call him this afternoon, and I'll wish him a happy holiday and thank him for what he's done.
Yeah.
But, you know, Marlo sounds good.
Well, what a nice lady. I mean, she seems like a nice lady. I've seen her interviewed, and I've listened to her interviewed, and I always thought she seemed like a sincere lady.
Well, she's done so much for St. Jude.
Yes, she has, and that's one of my favorite charities.
Very important group, started by her father, Danny Thomas.
Absolutely.
And I know her and Phil Donahue do a lot of work all year round.
Isn't it amazing that St. Jude's not only doesn't charge you for having whatever it needs to be done for your child, but they don't charge you for your motel room, which I assume
nobody's ever got a bill.
And yeah, and they don't even charge you for food eating there. So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Well, you know what this brings up to me, and I talked about it earlier, and nobody has any information, and maybe this says something of the times. I was at Walmart on Monday doing some shopping, and last night I was out, and there's a homeless gentleman who is in the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, I've seen him.
And I feel just so... I don't know what to do. I would like to know who it is. I would like to know what his story is. Go ahead, caller.
Well, good morning, you guys. I wasn't quite sure what days you're going to be broadcasting the rest of the week. And I thought, well, this is a good time to catch the both of you together.
Hello.
I just wanted to wish you both a very, very Merry Christmas.
Right back at you.
Yes.
And thank you so much for all of the things that you do that support Marion County Historical Society and all the other things that I'm connected with. And I really appreciate the time that you guys give me on the air to talk about those different activities and those different organizations that I
It's our pleasure, actually. Yeah.
Yep, we're glad to do it. And then Merry Christmas to you. Any big plans coming up?
Well, no, not really. Just my wife and I and her father, and we'll celebrate a very quiet Christmas. My son lives in Tampa, Florida, and he's not coming home this year, so talk to him on the phone. But now, Glenn, I understand you're going to your daughter's, is that right?
Yep, taking off tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Yep.
Oh, great. Well, how long of a drive is that down there?
If I didn't have to stop for my wife going potty all the time and my dog going potty all the time, it would take 10 hours. But it's 535
miles. 535
miles.
Yeah. Boy, you're going to do it in one day.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Bless your heart. I couldn't I couldn't ride in the car that far.
Well, we do stop a lot. And, your derriere tends to get numb after a while.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Scott, what about you? Any plans?
Well, yeah, Christmas Eve we're having a get-together, which is, it's become fun over the years because it is some of my family, but a lot of it are people from the station and some other assorted people who come to that, and we have a good time on Christmas Eve. Nobody's really got little kids, so nobody has to be home early. It's fun. We just, kind of have chicken sandwiches and chips, and it's easy stuff, finger foods, and it's a fun night.
Enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, and that's nice because you don't get to do that a whole lot.
Oh, absolutely. Did want to mention to you, Glenn, I'm having partial knee replacement surgery on January the 17th.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what January is going to bring for me.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll play it by ear.
That's provided Ohio Health doesn't cancel my surgery with that. Things are going away with this.
Yeah.
This new variant, there's a possibility that they'll cancel, but supposedly I'm not going to be able to drive for 4 weeks after the surgery's over, so I'm thinking maybe January I'll be out, but I should be back.
We'll talk about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
We'll cover.
But
hey, I thought of you yesterday. I was listening to something on TV, and they brought up a some sort of I think it was a dessert that was called Malabar something or other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm going to find out what that is. I think it was the topping was
that's
different.
That's interesting because the same cook that Louis had cooked for him for like 20 years, and the foundation, we did a cookbook a number of years ago. We included several of her recipes in that cookbook, and I think there was several dessert recipes in there. So
yeah,
it's quite possible it came from that cookbook, or at least from that from the farm.
Hey, Fred, I got a question for you. This is a little late in the game because tomorrow's the 81st anniversary of broadcasting here in Marion. But I think we'd had a conversation that what was left of the legendary WMRN stuff with Bob Mason and Charlton Myers and Madge Cooper and all that stuff that the Historical Society had, mm-hmm. had finally been digitized.
I think they've digitized most of it. I know it was a big project that one of the volunteers was working on a couple of years ago, and I think he got it finished.
Well, I have sent
those great big giant records.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I have sent several emails to Brandy to try to get just a few audio files to play tomorrow morning to celebrate the 81st anniversary. And do you think maybe you would be able to reach her today, just to email a few over?
They are actually shut down until after the first of the year.
Is that? Well, we'll have to do something after, because I think people would like to hear some of those.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, when they were doing that digitizing, that's hard to say, when they were doing that, the guy that was doing transcribing a lot of this stuff told me that there were a couple on there that had Louis Brumfield speaking here at various places in Marion. So I'm definitely interested in getting a copy of that. I wanted to get a copy of it to send to his living daughter, Ellen, but she passed away last year, so that's a no deal. But, yes, I like your idea. In fact, just as soon as they get back in January, I'll make that a number one priority.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
No problem. Hey, you guys, again, have a very Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you next week when you get back on the air again.
I just found the Malabar dessert. It's called Muta Mala, or Malabar dessert. It's made with eggs.
Well, that's quite possible because they had quite an egg operation going on back that days, and they had a dairy going on back then, too. So
we'll have to make some.
I'm sure it's probably one of the original recipes that came from the lady that was the cook there for so many years. So.
Cool. Okay, well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
You know, it's interesting, though, because I went down in those file cabinets that they had for years when they were not digitized, those old programs, and a lot of the things that are down there, it's interesting, because it's not the shows that you would have heard every day, because those were live, and nobody taped those, like the Over the Coffee Cups, or Orbit, or those shows don't exist because they did them every day, and they no taping. What exists were the things that they had to tape at the time.
Yeah.
Like if they went out and covered a school board meeting, or they covered somebody who was speaking, or they covered a choir that was performing, that's recorded because they had to
They didn't even have tidbits of the shows?
Like, I know there is some Joe Ione neighborhood news, and I'm guessing those were days when he couldn't be there to do it, so he would pre-record it, or it was historic for some reason. Bob Mason shows, which he didn't come in on Sunday, he would tape them, so they're all there. Charlton Myers shows, because he taped them, he didn't do them live, they're there. But stuff, the personalities you would recognize who were on every day, unless they taped an interview to bring it back to play, they're not there.
Huh, that's too bad.
It's an unfortunate part of old radio.
And nowadays, almost every radio station that still exists tapes, or they don't tape, but they record everything. So
a lot. Not everything.
No.
We do. That's not a common thing, though. They'll record things that they think are going to be of importance.
Really?
Not everything.
Huh.
We do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the other point I was going to make?
Oh,
he didn't ask for the Geraldo Journal. I thought for sure he was calling in to ask for the Geraldo Journal when we wrap that all up, when we tie a knot in that.
Yeah, well, you gave him some information about it earlier, so maybe he had heard that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. In any event, what were we talking about prior
Christmas?
We were talking about Christmas. Oh, the homeless man.
Yes.
Out in the Walmart parking lot. And I've passed by him twice now, and I don't know what his story is. I don't know anything about him. I assume he's a local person. And I was asking her, does anybody know anything about him? Because I know people have been taking him things. Because I ran into a lady yesterday in the grocery store who was taking him chips and a pop, that she had bought. So I don't know. Does anybody know the story? I haven't even been able to read the sign because it you can't just stop there and read the sign.
Right. He has too many words on it to read.
He's got a big sign.
Yeah.
But does anybody know the story, or could anybody? I mean, he might have a phone. It's strange these days how these things work, but you can get free phones. Is anybody out there at Walmart right now? Give the man our telephone number and have him call in. I'd really love to know what this guy's story is.
He sits, can help him.
Yeah, right there behind Applebee's. So give us a buzz, 740-383-9944.
I often drive by and think I'm a bad person because I don't stop and give him something. But I've been taken before on that, you know. So often, we stopped at a restaurant on our trip to California one time, and a gentleman outside said, "Can you give me a few bucks to go in and get some food?" And I said, "Well, I'll bring it out to you. What do you want?" And he said, "No, I just need a couple bucks. I'll go in and buy it." Well, I went in and talked to the manager if I could give him some food. And the manager says, "That guy does that every day. He's just there to get the money." You know, and I hate being so negative about it, but you kind of wonder when somebody's sitting out there if they're not playing a scam.
Well, see, I don't know what you're supposed to do, because I've heard that school of thought. You don't give money, because if they have an alcohol or a drug addiction, that's where it'll go.
Right.
You can give them food, but how's that going to get them shelter? That's not going to fix shelter. Yeah. So I don't know what you do. I honestly don't know what the situation is. And clearly it's not fixable because he's sitting there every day.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the sign says. So this is what I would just like to know. I think this is what community radio is supposed to do. We're supposed to highlight things like this and find out, because I'm guaranteeing people have driven by this guy. He's sitting in the busiest parking lot in town every day for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and nothing's being done, obviously.
Doesn't he have a dog, too?
I don't know if I've seen the dog, but I've seen the guy.
I thought I saw him with the dog one day, but maybe I'm wrong.
But this is what we need to do in the holiday season.
Sure.
Is pay attention to stuff like this. So if anybody's out there, happen to be listening, give him the station phone number here. Well, tell him we want to talk to him. Ask him a question.
Maybe you could stop by and get out with your phone and interview him for us.
Well, anything at this particular point, because I'm just curious what happened. What led to this particular situation?
I bet we ought to get the voice to come up and interview him.
Well, there's somebody who knows something about that particular that particular situation. But it's just so sad to me to think of this time of year that there are people who have to live that way. And I don't think in America that should be the case.
Well, many nights when I'm struggling to get to sleep, I think about what I'd do if I won the lottery and had plenty of spare money. And one of the things I would like to do is, set up a... you can buy these little tiny houses. They're not very big, but they have plumbing and they have, safety, security, and put them up in places for the homeless people. But, here comes the cops to carry me away.
This holiday season, and I hate to be on a downer on this, but from Thanksgiving until now, fairly personally, I have known a person who lost their grandson, young grandson, not even 30 years old, to suicide.
No.
I have known somebody who lost their grandson, 32 years old, on a motorcycle accident. I have known two young kids who, thank goodness they did not die, but their house burned down, lost everything, even their dog in the house. I have known somebody who lost their son-in-law. Totally unexpected. I mean, I think he was in his early 70s, but totally unexpected. He wasn't ill, my understanding. So all these things have happened, and that's tough.
And it seems that the holiday time is a time that it just comes out of the woodwork. I've told the story about Star, one of my realtor friends down in Athens, who was killed the day before Christmas, but they kept her alive till the day after Christmas so that their children wouldn't know.
Well, five thousand beds in the Marion General Hospital, and we're pretty much
yikes
at that point. At this point, how many people are going to spend Christmas Day in the hospital?
What a horrible way to go, too, on a ventilator.
Well, I mean, even people who aren't going.
Yeah.
Just the people who are sick and can't be with their families and can't do what they want to do. How many people have tested positive right now and are not going to be with their families because of the segregation of that illness?
Well, I was thinking two days ago, I went to sleep. Or went to bed, and I was thinking, this is kind of the feeling I had right before my heart attack.
Oh, man.
So, and you know what happens when you think that? Oh, your mind starts going. So I thought, oh, I can't have a heart attack at Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, December 26th, people are okay to be sick.
Yeah.
It's okay. But to be sick over Christmas, people will... They'll put it off. They won't go to the hospital. They'll try their best. They'll feel like garbage, and yet they'll put on the party. And it's just, it's that one time a year where you feel like it's a command performance.
Yeah, it sure does seem that way, doesn't it?
It does, but there are going to be people who are sick. Yeah. There are going to be people who are homeless. There are going to be many chairs at many tables where people are gone. And not primarily, that's why I was trying to highlight the suicide, the motorcycle wreck. You know, it's not just COVID.
Right.
I mean, that's knocked a lot of stuff off the front page, but other things are happening too.
Yeah, and unfortunately we're not able to take care of them as well because we have so many people in the hospital.
So I don't know. I mean, it's very unfortunate. We're going to have fun here at the station. I'm going to try to, you know, have as much fun as I can during the Christmas holiday, but it definitely will be the pandemic years when we look back on this.
Now, one of the criticisms people have of Christmas is really not intended for fun. But if you're not able to enjoy Christmas, you feel like you've been cheated.
Well, I just think there should be some line of fun. I really, fun that doesn't go into stress, because that also happens too.
I prefer to have joy rather than necessarily fun. Fun is going sledding on a really steep hill and, you know, something like that. But the joy of being with my grandchildren, the joy of, last night we had my sister-in-law over for our anniversary, and the joy of eating really good food is fun too. But I really think this is a season that you should look forward to. Not fun, but appreciation of life, and the word isn't coming up, but something other than just fun.
Well, I would hope so.
Because you can have fun on a roller coaster.
Well, you know what? Earlier on my program, we started out this morning during the 8 o'clock hour, we had a Family Feud question. Name a gift kids do not want to open on Christmas. Now, there were 6 answers. We got 4 of them. Number 2 was socks. Number 4 was books. Number 5 was clothes. And number 6 was puzzles.
Huh.
But there are 2 other gifts that we still don't have. So in the next 19 minutes, let's see if we can get these answers.
Yeah.
Name a gift that kids do not want to see under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. 740-383-9944. Now remember, we already have socks, books, clothes, and puzzles.
The first thing that popped into my mind when you asked that question was books.
Yeah, books are right there. Now, see, I like books for Christmas. Now, clothes have always been a downer for most kids.
Yeah.
You got to understand, kids is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about adults. Name a gift a kid does not want to open on Christmas morning. We've got socks, we've got books, we've got clothes, and we've got puzzles, but there are still 2 other answers, and people are having a really difficult time coming up with these. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what they are?
When I was younger and a business person, I guess you'd call me, the one thing I didn't want to get is another tie. Because nobody ever buys
Ties are bad at Christmas.
Yes. And nobody buys you a tie that you like. Or they'll buy you one of those crazy ties that has Santa Claus doing sword swallowing or something like that.
You know what I've never understood is why people give people Christmas gifts that are Christmas themed at Christmas. Because you put them right away.
Yeah, you never
go next year.
Yeah.
You have to wait a whole year until you can see those things again. All right, go ahead, caller.
I'm going to say anything to do with sports, any kind of sports.
No sports equipment on the list. Sports does not register on the list. Now, the question is, name a gift kids do not want to receive on Christmas morning.
A treadmill I wouldn't want to receive as a kid. But
well, no, I don't know. Kids are very sporty now.
Yeah, they are kind of sporty.
We've got socks, books, clothes, and puzzles. Socks, books, clothes, and puzzles. We still don't have the number one answer. Number one and number three are what's eluding us. A gift that a kid would not want on Christmas morning. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz.
My next door neighbor always brings over her used puzzles.
Go ahead, caller.
Underwear
is number one on the list.
Oh,
thank you.
Chris, yeah. Great answer.
Underwear number one on the list. Now, do people get a lot of that at Christmas time?
Well, you know, maybe a boyfriend to a girlfriend. That might be something.
Oh, man, Glenn. Gee whiz.
Sorry.
You've been into the sauce again, haven't you? Go ahead, caller.
What about stuffed animals?
No stuffed animals, but, you know, they sell those by the truckload at the stores.
Yeah.
I know. I never wanted one, so I thought, well, maybe it's up there.
Me either.
Good guess, though. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Something a kid does not want to get as a gift on Christmas. Underwear 1, socks 2, books 4, clothes 5, puzzles 6.
So we're missing 3.
We're missing number 3, right in the middle of this of this category.
Underwear should have been picked real quickly, but
I don't know if do people do that anymore. I don't see or hear a whole lot of that.
My mother always gave me presents that I needed. So I'd get underwear, socks, books. Sometimes.
Remember when things, you would get something from an aunt or an uncle that would come in the mail that you didn't see?
Yeah.
Those days are over. What happened to the aunts and uncles who used to send gifts?
Well, there still are some nice aunts and uncles. Aunts or uncles.
Aunt.
How do you say uncle?
Uncle.
Oh, okay.
Uncle. Well, how in the world, and I hate to get into this at the Christmas time, but how in the world do we get aunt? A-U-N-T. How do we get aunt out of that?
I don't know.
How is a U silent as the second letter in a word? It makes no grammatical sense.
It's a Midwestern accent because my mother, who is from Boston, always pronounced it aunt. And my cousins call her Aunt B.
Well, the other day I was having, you know, a conversation about progress and process because the root word is pro, and that's how people in England pronounce it. But we don't even say pronunciation, really. We say pronunciation.
Well, I don't.
Oh, I know people who do.
Okay.
So
they all
but think about that. If aunt is right and progress is right and process is right, then why not pronunciation?
Well, I usually pronounce the name of my show A Progressive Life. I don't know. Maybe I'm pronouncing it right.
I've always found people who are very particular with grammar are wound a little too tight.
My father was
you know
an
what,
English
teacher,
so that's why I'm wound up.
They're the type of people who try to look up answers. You know,
I do that all the time.
Well, they can't guess. You know, they're playing a game. They have to know.
Yeah.
It drives them nuts to not know. I think we lost something when the internet came in and people could start Googling things because it used to be fun to hear what people would guess. Sometimes you would hear answers that had some correlation that made you think of something even though it wasn't the right answer.
So one of the most fun interview things that they do on some of these late night shows is interview people on the street and ask them some question like, what was the Civil War? And they have no idea.
Well, you know what's funny? What has always interested me is I assume that people are looking up the answers because they're getting tired of people not getting it. But why would that bother somebody that people weren't getting the answer?
It bothers me. I don't know why.
But what does it say? Because there is a right answer to the question.
Well, you know, if you're asking a question on the air and nobody's answering it, I look it up so that I can give it to you. It's kind of, I'm trying to help you out.
But I've got the answer.
But you've got the answer, but that's kind of what I'm doing.
Right, but I guess, isn't that the whole point of a game? To not get the answer? If we knew every answer right off the bat, it wouldn't be much of a game.
Well, yeah. And only Adam knows every answer.
That's right. So. Well, 740-383-9944. A gift a kid does not want to wake up to on Christmas morning. We've got underwear, socks, books, Clothes and puzzles. What is the one answer we're missing? 740-383-9944.
I wonder what the number one most wanted gift is by a kid during Christmas.
I think it depends on the year.
Bicycle? Yeah, it probably does, yeah.
I don't know what it is this year. What are kids asking for this year?
Probably some sort of electronic game or something.
Those have seemingly been the way we've went the last few years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a much more
a cruiser bicycle. Have you ever seen? Well, you know what a cruiser bike is.
You want a Peloton?
No,
apparently people die on those.
I might kill myself.
The poor Peloton company. I just feel horrible for them.
I don't.
I mean,
they're filthy rich. So.
But did people understand that that show's not real? That the guy died on the Peloton? I mean, I don't understand that. It's not real. He didn't really die on the Peloton.
It's a liberal conspiracy.
it's fascinating to me. You know what I did this past weekend? You know, Bob Dole recently died.
Yeah.
I was trying to rest my voice this past weekend after having laryngitis on Friday, and I looked at some stuff on Bob Dole. And here is a guy who was as Republican as you would want to get, but just understood that deals had to be made. He was super Republican, but he just understood that deals had to be made. Simple as that.
Yeah. I wish we had Republicans like that now, or Democrats like that.
But, you know, see, here's the thing that confuses me about that, though. Do we really dislike people right now for their beliefs, or do we like the fact that they wouldn't, that they don't compromise?
I think what we've gotten into is my team against your team, and it has nothing to do with compromise.
Well, people will go nuts here when I say that. Well, your guest next hour will go nuts, and I don't want to wreck the Christmas show. But to be honest with you, Bob Dole, if you look at the voting record and you look at who he supported over the years, was no less conservative than Jim Jordan, than Ted Cruz, than Chris Christie. Not really at all. He supported Trump. Dole was the only presidential candidate living at the time, president or presidential candidate, Republican, who showed up and supported Trump at the 2006 rally. He supported Trump in the 2020 election. Bob Dole's beliefs were very Republican, very conservative. The only difference between Bob Dole and a Ted Cruz and a Chris Christie and Christie was a governor, but Ted Cruz and a Jim Jordan in our district, conservative-wise, is that Bob Dole would compromise. And he wasn't so blustery. He was thought of to be mean.
I don't think he was considered to be a liar, either.
Well,
I think he told the truth.
Yeah, but you know, you got to go back to Bob Dole when he was Gerald Ford's running mate, and he was people thought he hurt Ford on the ticket because he was mean.
Really?
He didn't become funny Bob Dole till he lost the election.
I have an interesting story about Bob Dole's wife, but I can't tell it on the air.
Oh well, she seemed like a nice enough lady.
Nice lady, yeah.
You know, my favorite story on Bob Dole has nothing to do with anything he did in politics. It was, you know, he had been such a player. He had been a vice presidential candidate. He'd been the head of the Senate. He'd really led the Republican Party. He got the nomination. He ran against Bill Clinton in 96, and he lost. And most people, after they lose, and he quit the Senate, so he had no job. And he really, you know, he'd nothing. He waited 3 days. 3 days after he lost the election on Tuesday, and it was either on Thursday or Friday of election week.
He called you up.
No, he appeared on David Letterman, not Larry King, not a news show. He went on David Letterman, and this was Bob Dole. He sits down, and David Letterman, you know, what do you ask the guy who just lost 3 days ago the presidential election? And Letterman said, "What have you been up to, Bob?" And he said, "Apparently not enough."
So, you know.
Well, I've heard from former people that worked with him that he had a terrific sense of humor.
I think he did.
Yeah.
And I bet you so does Jim Jordan. So does Ted Cruz.
Not that I've seen.
Well, no, but we didn't see Bob Dole either. People thought he was an angry man. People thought he was very stiff and he was mean to Mondale.
Well, even people say about Cruz, even the Republicans hate him.
Well, but do we know? I don't know. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I got a Bob Dole story myself.
All right.
I used to be a guardian on the honor flight, where they fly veterans down to Washington, D.C. to, you know, go to their various memorials, whether it's World War II or whatever. And I was a guardian for a gentleman out of Hardin County who was a Purple Heart winner. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge. And so we made our trip down to Washington. We went to the World War II memorial. And as we got off the bus, and I had my veteran in his wheelchair, and I'm pushing him down the walkway to get to the memorial, here stands Bob Dole.
Wow. Huh.
And, of course, Bob was very influential in getting the World War II monument built, being a World War II veteran himself, obviously. But as we came down the sidewalk, he stopped us and started a conversation with us. And a very nice man. I mean, you couldn't ask for a kinder, gentler person. He could be a bulldog when he needed to be, but to veterans and their families, he was a very special individual. And so I have a photograph with me and Bob Dole and my veteran in his wheelchair at the National Memorial, the World War II Memorial.
That's cool. That's a great. Yeah. And isn't it interesting, you know who put him in charge of raising money for that World War II Memorial? Bill Clinton. The man who beat him.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I tell you one thing. He was devoted. He tried to be at every honor flight that came in to D.C. to the World War II memorial. He tried to be there to greet them when they got off the bus. And I'm sure as he got, you know, older and more feeble, he wasn't able to do that. But this would have been, now let's see, this would have probably been 2008. 2009, somewhere around in there. I'd have to get the photograph out to take a look at it. But
he was a disabled vet himself.
He was, absolutely, yeah.
And he covered
really
it very well.
What's that?
He covered it very well.
He did. He never really regained
use of one arm,
hand
right?
at all, right?
Yeah.
That arm at all. But and I've read, he wrote a book about his experiences. I've read that book, and it's a very interesting book.
Do you think he's any different, really, than the people of today, except for the fact that he doesn't compromise? And there are so many media sources now that people can voice their opinions.
I don't know. It's a different. I think all those guys that served in World War II, that greatest generation, I think they were entirely different individuals. When I think back of some of the people that have been in the Senate over the years, Everett Dirksen, Tip O'Neill, people like that, there aren't people like that around anymore.
Doesn't seem to be. Yeah.
They just aren't there. There's too many people in the Senate and in the Congress today that don't belong there.
Well, it's an interesting time for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, friend.
I think a lot of times of Governor Rhodes, who was very popular here in Ohio. He was elected I don't know how many times as governor.
And but known as a bulldog, too.
Right, but that's what, in the age of Twitter and in the age of YouTube and everybody having a camera, I don't think he would have survived. I mean, I just think it's a different time. I think we know too much about everybody.
Yeah, we probably do, and we aren't willing to accept people for who they really are. We want to lie about them.
Well, I mean, it's okay to know about their voting record. It's okay to know about what state they're from. But I think it's we base too much on personality. I don't really care what these people's personality is. And when somebody says something or somebody, I like this person, has a nasty attitude, that's personality. That's not what or who they are. But unfortunately, people's personality is now creeping in to the way they vote, because if you vote the wrong way, people will be out to crush you on cable television and in places that they didn't used to.
And more, we're nominating and electing people that are celebrities, kind of.
Well, thank you for... I mean, John McCain was not a charismatic guy.
No.
Bob Dole was not a charismatic guy until later in life. He became much more jovial and fun. A lot of these people were not charismatic guys, but they compromised. They voted. They showed up. And now it's all based in personality. Why do we hate one person more than we hate the other? You know, it's interesting because by my account, what just happened in the Congress, you know, the votes that have been going on in the Congress, not one Republican is voting for anything. But yet there are many Republicans, we don't even know their name. Yeah. And they voted and had the same amount of voting power that everybody else had. But we certainly know how Ted Cruz voted. We certainly know how Jim Jordan voted. We know that. But we don't know how Bill Johnson from Wisconsin, but he voted the same way they did. But we don't care because he's not a personality.
I just get tired of having people feeling obligated to vote whatever the leader of their party tells them to vote.
But you know what? People are beating up Manchin right now, and I really have no opinion on that except to say, you know, I don't know if money's controlling him. I really don't know. Could be. I don't know. But isn't he right now the only person in the country who is doing what you're saying, not voting with their party?
Well, and Sinema. She is not either.
So are they the heroes? Because...
Could be if we were in a situation where the other party would vote the way they believed. But right now they're all walking, like, in lockstep. So.
But should you do that just to...
I think you should vote the way you honestly believe.
I think those two must be.
Well, then,
now, people
fine.
Will say it's money.
Well,
but I don't know.
I
think money controls all of them to some degree.
Well, you got to understand that Manchin lives in a state that really needs coal mines.
But don't you think he's voting how his people would vote?
No.
You don't?
No, I think there have been enough polls that prove he's voting against his constituents.
Well, why would he want to vote a way that is not going to get him reelected?
Let's go back to money.
Money?
Yeah.
Just, well, maybe. I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't think
Sinema is the same. I think Arizona would not... I think if Arizona would be behind how she's voting. I mean, they just...
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
so,
there are more... Yeah, I'm going to leave it alone.
Well, but I will also say that our district, I'm sure that we're voting the way that Jim Jordan votes.
Not the way I'm voting.
No, but hey, I've seen the local elections around
Absolutely.
Here. I know what's going
yeah.
on, and I see how we vote. And, you know, like him or dislike him, like his rhetoric or not like his rhetoric, clearly, I mean, what should he do? Should he vote the minority? I don't know.
I like his blazer. He never wears it, so maybe he'd give it to me.
On this Christmas show.
I'm sorry.
All right, Glenn. The Christmas show is coming up next. Merry Christmas. Have
Merry
fun.
Merry Christmas.
Safe trip to North Carolina.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be back before. We'll be back next week before 2022.
Yep.
And talk about everything that went down this past year in 2021. All right, for this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Glenn Coble coming up next.
Comet on Cupid, on Downer and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all, end quote. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each tiny hoof. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the